Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Your Vibes Podcast. Everybody's got a vibe and a story to tell. Here's this one. I hope you enjoy. Off and running. What's up, everybody? We are back with Your Vibes Podcast. Took a couple weeks, month off. Kind of catch my breath a little bit and get involved in a few other projects. So we are back up hot and running once again. And I've got a interesting guest in here today. Met him, I don't know, what, a couple months ago, several months ago. We started talking on some things, and he's getting into the, he's in the NFT crypto space, and that's something that I know is hot and running and hot topic right now. So I thought I'd bring him in. He's got a project he's about to drop as well, too, so he's going to speak a little on that. I'm not too terribly versed in it, so he's going to kind of take what seemingly is a complicated topic and try to make it a little more legible and understandable for those who are interested in the space. I know I am, and I'm looking forward to hearing what he's got to say. But got Mr. Brandon Kruger in here today. How you doing, buddy?
How you guys doing today?
Good. So I appreciate you coming in. I know you've got a project coming up, but kind of before we get rolling on all that, maybe we just kind of dive into the crypto world, NFT world, just kind of, I guess maybe your background on it, kind of how, you know, what piqued your interest and how you kind of got into it in the first place and then kind of that journey between there and now and what you've learned along the way.
Yeah, I mean, crypto's got a lot of utility. It's taken a little bit of time for us to start discovering what it truly can do. NFTs, I think, just hit their first wave, and people are just now starting to realize the true potential behind it. But they're selling art. You could sell images, but in reality, you can go a little bit more in depth, and you can actually track different things. Like, so for example, the title when you pay off your car, that is what you consider like an old-fashioned paper trail of a non-fungible token. It's your VIN, your ownership on that vehicle. You can modify it, just like in the NFT realm. You can have smart contracts where you can modify some stuff to where you can exchange owners to a new person. But in reality, there's just quite a bit of potential in there, whether it's coding it into games to where as you're doing all the work in the game, earning through the levels, you can make money. You can then exchange that money into other different aspects to help you further in the game, or you can even exchange it out to crypto and then, you know, ACH that to your bank.
Yeah. So did the whole thing, I guess, when did it kind of emerge on the scene as far as an actual thing that people started taking seriously and making some money on?
To be honest, I don't even think it's fully emerged yet.
Yeah.
I think we're still pretty early stages. It's like the wild, wild west out there. You're having, I mean, you have people that try dropping things that are like, oh, no coding, get your art out there, throw it on the blockchain. But I mean, you can half cock a project, but it's not going to take off.
Yeah.
Just like you can go buy a little food truck and buy a little George Foreman grill and think you're going to flip burgers. But unless you have a solid framework on all of your supplies you're getting in, what your menu is going to be like, how you're going to execute your clientele, what plans you have for the future. Like for example, there's a lot of NFT projects that have failed.
Yeah.
They've just stopped maintaining it. Their Twitters aren't on. Their Discord chats aren't really going on. So there's some things like that to look out for, or to even make sure that they even created the NFT properly. Like, so for the artwork, we're using an art engine. So yeah, we drew every individual piece, but then
by hand on a tablet.
Mm-hmm. And then we take all that proof of work, move it over into another program. We got to vectorize it, get all the colors and everything good. Then we got to switch that over to an art engine, put in all the files of where we want what to be pulled from, because you got to make sure it's pulling all the layers.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Then you got to code the rarities and all that, make sure all the color crisps and everything are on point. So
wow. So did it really kind of, is what's it, I mean, I know it can evolve and turn into and be used obviously through gaming and other things as well too, and we'll get into that. But what are people kind of, the one thing I've heard quite a bit about is as far as art goes, if you've got somebody trying to fake a Mona Lisa, you know, they've been able to do that, or any kind of Picasso type painting, you could have somebody that's really good at art on canvas and can kind of maybe sell a fake of that. But obviously with the blockchain, you know, that's almost, it's impossible to do that.
You have to have proof of work.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we were to look at old school technology, canvas and paint, you can be a great painter and try to forge that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the new tech realm, the canvas tracks everything that's going on,
yeah,
when it was done, how it was done, and all that. So by the time you go to put that into the blockchain for it to be accepted as yours, they'd be able to rule out the proof by saying that, oh no, the Mona Lisa has already been created this year at this time, so now you can't.
There's nobody NFT that can fake that.
I mean, I can't say that there's no way. Sure. I'm sure that there's a hacker out there. Sure. I mean, whenever you're in the digital space and this being more of the wild, wild west, it's all about protection. You know, a lot of people might even start investing these NFTs and just have a wallet attached to a Gmail.
Yeah.
That's not really much protection there, is it?
No. So if somebody were to, I guess, kind of walk me through the process of, let's say you drop something. You know, how does that work? So you've drawn it on the tablet. You've gone through the process of putting it in the system and making sure everything is kind of squared away the way it needs to be. You know, what would you do then in order to release it to the public?
I mean, there's actually quite a few steps, because the first step was having it all come out of the art engine and then making sure that every
variation. So is that like an AI engine that just...
That's a computer that literally... Like, here, let me see if I got an image I can show you. Because, yeah, it's basically a computer you load everything up in, and then you add some lines of code and you get it to spit out exactly what you're trying to achieve. If you get the code wrong, then you might get some weird variations and then have to go back in and recode it. But let's see.
Here. So is like, it an actual so like it would spit
out
or is it,
like okay. It'll spit out a ton of variations like that.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
And then each one's got a rarity and it's got the metadata behind it to express what is making this rare and how many others have that variation.
Okay, so would you just in essence draw one of those and then you can put it, or do you have to draw each into
The best way I would explain is if we hop back into the third dimension now and I'm a character for a role.
Okay.
And my character, I wear suits, I wear shorts, I wear gym clothes, I might be playing basketball, I got some sweatbands, I might have a Rolex, whatever.
Okay.
My character being the primary NFT artwork, and then you create every aspect that I'm gonna have, wear, or any of that.
Okay.
And you put it into this computer and the computer spits out every combination you can have.
Wow. So like a suit and tie or yeah, whatever.
Whatever you created. Okay. So I mean, you could create some tattoos that are on one and no tattoos on the other. You could have some piercings over here. You can have a background that's like this, no background. You could be smoking a blunt, whatever you want. Yeah.
Okay. So what's in regards to the rarity, what's, you know, obviously if you created it, it's original to you, but what do you mean when you say kind of rarity of the piece?
Well, say that, I have a gold chain, I got some gold bands, right? And these are accessories that I can have, and I'm wanting, you know, I can make 6 million different variations, but I only want to actually mint about 8,888, for example. And out of those 8,888, I only want 1%. I only want one to have all the gold, and then I only want 1% to carry one aspect of the gold.
Ah, okay.
And then that makes it to where only a couple do.
Okay.
Or if that fits well with some of the other clothes, like, so say you had a nice business suit and a Rolex, mm-hmm. only one would get the business suit and the Rolex, and maybe only two others will get the Rolex, period. Okay. And then now that Rolex is rare because only three out of the 8,000 have them, but the one where the Rolex with the business suit is going to be your ultra rare because it's one of a kind.
And then they can then in turn have that piece and they've got ownership of it. So somebody buys it with, you have to have a certain type of crypto, right? In order to purchase these or?
Well, yes and no. Okay. I mean, crypto is interchangeable. It's like if I wanted to go to Canada, take my USD, I'd go and I'll switch it over for their currency. The same thing is with the crypto realm. It's just where it could get expensive, especially with the Ethereum blockchain. Their gas fees are through the roof.
Okay.
So, are you changing from USDT to Ethereum to Solana, or are you going USDT straight
to Solana? So the valuation of each coin or-
is different, but then you also, it costs money to do the exchange because someone's going to have to get paid for, just like you go to the ATM.
Yeah.
You put your card in there, it's not your bank, someone's getting paid that $250 for having the potential of your money to be there to be pulled out of your account.
Okay.
That's their service fee for services rendered.
Okay. And so Ethereum or somebody like that would be that middleman in order to...
Well, not even just Ethereum. I mean, you got to look at... I mean, like I said, it's wild. You can go to swaps, and now the swaps are going to be the ones that are making the money.
Okay.
Not really Ethereum. If you're doing work in the Ethereum network, now you're paying Ethereum gas prices. That would go to anyone involved in Ethereum. It could be, you know, miners. It could be just...
Okay.
Holders, stakers.
Okay. And so... when people purchase these, they've got them. What generates, I guess it's probably market fluctuation as well too, but kind of what, what generates the, you know, you buy it for X amount of price, you know, what demand, I guess, would have to be there or something along those lines to, let's say, what makes this monkey more successful over, you know, this dragon or something?
That's,
you know,
that's getting more into the tokenomics of things as well as marketing.
Okay.
Like, so, supply and demand is very simple, but if you don't have people knowing about it, then they're not going to be there to want to buy it, even if you have a ton of supply, which makes your project failed.
Sure.
Or if you have a ton of people there that want to buy it, but you only did like one or two of them, yeah, you might make some good money on just those two images, but even how many times is it going to have to trade for you to make something worth having a full actual category of, or collection, a full collection, not just like I'm trying to create one NFT, I did a 3D in high school or in college, and I want to try to mint that, throw that on the DeFi space and get that going out there. It could be successful, but it's not an actual brand. Okay. Like, I see the true potential in the NFT realm by building a brand of some sort.
Okay.
You can build a brand off yourself and your music, your art, your marketing style. I mean, really, you can throw all, like, if you can imagine it, you could throw it into an NFT.
Okay.
But you have to have the coding capability.
Now, is that, do you code as well too? Did you say you've got somebody that helps you do
that? I do have someone that helps me do the coding. Me, I'm like, I could read some, I could read multiple languages, but when it comes to writing, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in regards to the marketing of it, so you said Twitter and Discord. So is that kind of, so they create something, they would really want to just hammer down on, here's what I've got.
It would be more the whitelist tokens. So whenever we start dropping out there saying, hey, this is our project, we're going to offer so many of these that you can get in the bottom floor, sign up here, and we'll automatically raffle however many people are going to get this token.
Okay.
So that would be one way you can get your project up and going. You can have influencers speak about it. You can do YouTube videos in reality. I mean, you can do Instagram videos, Facebook videos. It's, anyone's trying to get into the crypto space right now, it's just about having a solid project that shows that you're worth investing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how does, obviously these things have value as well too. Is the actual cryptocurrency just a means of exchange, or is that kind of built into the NFT as well too? Or is that, I guess what I'm trying to get at, I guess, is, you're creating value with just the NFT within itself, which is,
there is a cost to create it.
Okay.
But yes, you are technically creating, I mean, there was a cost to buy the canvas. There was a cost to buy the paint, but the value never got there until the artist slapped it together and actually had their vision on that image that then someone else saw and wanted to buy. So then that created the value.
It's like gaining appreciation or equity in a house
kind
of deal.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
But with the NFT realm, it's about, while you're doing it early on, making sure that you can have your tokens exchanged. Like, so I mean, like in our wallet, you can load up the image right in the wallet. You can see all the attributes. And if you wanted to send it over to a friend, you could send it straight there from our wallet.
Okay.
Like that.
Okay. So you just send it to somebody.
And you just send it right there. Boom.
Okay. And so, they would have to have the wallet too.
Well, yeah. And the wallet's just like, think of a digital thumb drive to store your crypto.
Yeah.
So it's just a digital space. You can have it web-based, you can have it hard drive-based, you can have it straight solid key-based, where you actually have a I can't think of the term right now, but it basically is a block that holds all your crypto, keeps it
like
offline.
A tangible external hard drive or something.
Basically.
Like that.
There's an actual term for it. I just can't think of it right now. But
okay. So I guess advice to anybody that's got them, you know, obviously you're saying it's the Wild West, and which it is, but I mean, you wouldn't want to be willy-nilly with kind of how you hold these. So what are the protections around, you know, you having it and maybe protecting yourself as well as you can from somebody hacking in and taking this?
Well, that's where doing all the coding in the beginning is, to make sure that we have a solid project that doesn't have those security flaws to where whenever, because if you have some people doing whitelist tokens and they don't know how to properly protect whichever method they're releasing them, someone can hack in there and then just start printing a bunch of them because they had a flaw in the code, but because it's on the blockchain, you can't really go back and debug it.
Yeah.
When you drop it, it's gotta be flawless.
Mm. I can see that would create some issues if
so,
it wasn't.
So there could be, but that's why you gotta make sure doing all the tests beforehand, before you drop the project, to make sure it's secure.
So just stress tests on it.
Yeah.
How would you go about doing that?
That's what my coder's for.
Okay. He just goes in, I guess, self-hack it or something like that.
I don't really know all the parameters of what he's doing. I just know he updates me little by little. And
okay.
I'm like, everything's good or that's not amazing. Good. Yeah. And then he's like, oh, no, we got this. And I'm like, all right, let me come over there. We'll try to see if maybe I can catch something you're missing. But normally he's got it.
Okay, cool. So I guess in regards to, I guess we could kind of start with the video game aspect of it. Maybe that'll kind of shine some light on how this works. But you know, obviously you got Facebook with a new metaverse and goggles and all that stuff you can jump into. I know that they're selling and buying digital real estate as well too, and kind of going deep
into
that.
I'm not sure where Facebook is with it. Okay. My understanding, Zuckerberg kind of flopped on all that.
Okay.
But you do have a couple different metaverses out there. You can buy land. You can do things as crazy as buy cattle, raise the cattle, breed the cattle, and then sell the cattle, exchange that for Ethereum, and then once again, ACH it and pay yourself.
Okay.
Or you can, you know, build extravagant buildings. You know, I've seen a couple, you know, Twitch followers that have like nice little high rises with all their NFT art hanging on in the walls.
Okay.
Stuff
and
like
then you
that.
You can just go in there in like a gala almost and go in and shop with those.
I mean, you actually do have galleries even where you could drop your art. Yep. So it's like a space away from space.
Sure. People are spending a lot of time over there as well too.
Yeah.
It seems like
it's depressing.
It's like this Ready Player One kind of thing.
That's really it.
I mean, that's unbelievable. The world around them is just doom and gloom and disastrous and scorched earth, but they jump into this system and everything is, you know, they are who they want to be.
Peachy
kind of
and butterflies.
Yeah. Right. Huh. Okay. So, you know, where I guess from a national standpoint or a global standpoint, you know, I know we were kind of talking before we started recording, but kind of the effects that this would have on our national monetary system, you know, with what's happening with Bitcoin and, you know, XRP or Ethereum and whatever it may be. You know, what are you seeing as far as obviously kind of, and we've got the Federal Reserve that's, you know, whatever it may be in the eyes of whoever's looking at it, but you know, currency exchanges and purchasing, buying and purchasing things like that, you know, where is all this kind of sitting at the moment, you know, from a standpoint of, you know, I guess how our deals are made in the future?
I mean, in reality, to a very vague illusion, the blockchain's always existed. We've always traded with it. Every US note you have has a certain sequence of numbers on there. Every blockchain coin has a certain sequence of numbers on there, and you can track where it's going. It's just now, since it's moved over to the digital space, everyone can see it. And I think the only thing that's got these, you know, banksters nervous is the fact that they don't have full control over tracking where that is.
Because
now you can hop onto the DeFi space and see, oh, this wallet sent this amount to this person.
Okay.
It's now, who owns the wallet, that part, you know, still got a little bit of anonymity to it. But in reality, with how people load on, it's real easy for that information to be given up.
Because
if you have your MetaMask or whatever automatically linked into your browser, you're not doing any security protocols to, you know, keep that discretion.
Okay. So in regards, I guess, to kind of what you've got going on, you know, what are we looking at here? As much as you can say, I know it hasn't dropped. When did you say you were going to put it out?
Oh, we're doing our pre-launch on 420.
Nice. That's what I'm talking about. Just tell me a little bit about kind of what you got going on and the benefits of it and you know, how that's going to work and what's going to be the future of it.
Yeah. I mean, we got some awesome artwork, you know, it's called Punk Monk, ton of different variations on there. We already have it all ready to be integrated and switch through all the different wallets, and your artwork will actually show in the wallet. It's not going to just be a chain of numbers showing you own something. You'll actually be able to see what you own in the wallet and then send it to whoever you want to. That's the basic gist on the first project, but this, in reality, holders of this project are going to be able to have an early in on the next project. I just can't go into too much details on what that's all about, but it's definitely going to be worth holding on to this to see what's to come.
Is it you and a team of people? I guess you and your coder and some other people as well too, or?
Yeah, we got a little team.
Okay. So how do you come up with the art? I mean, I guess, Haley may, you know, some of the stuff she's got, but, you know, how are you coming up and kind of what's the thought behind the creations that you're putting out?
I mean, like I said, it's just a big team and we all look at the images and we're like, oh, I could use this, or maybe this aspect might help it, or it might give it a little bit more of uniqueness. And about 2 months of just nonstop hitting, drawing any chance we can. And
okay.
Yeah.
So, are you taking it? Is there a, what's the best way to phrase it? Is there a kind of a demand, I guess, maybe for a certain type of art, or is there things that, that do better than others, or are we going to just kind of go back to the whole marketing of it in general? Or
I mean, a lot of it's marketing, but a lot of it's art. Okay. I mean, yeah. There's some images that really, you know, the eye of the beholder is who sees the value, right?
Sure.
So I feel that with all the research I've done on getting this image out there and seeing what people's responses are, everyone loves it. It's got a killer name,
cool.
Killer backstory for it. A lot of potential to what we're going to grow into with this specific brand, because we're going to create a whole brand out of it. I mean, there's no point not to, especially with what potential's out there.
Sure. So what's you drop it on 420. What's do you set an initial price point on that, or is it just how does that work?
So with doing the whitelist tokens, we're going to allow people to mint it at a bottom price. They're not going to be paying the floor price.
Okay.
And then we'll let them develop whatever floor price they think it has. Like I said, eye of the beholder is the one who
puts. So you've got somebody that may buy it at whatever, and then value grows just kind of along that, and they can buy.
Yeah, and then they sell it, and then someone else can be like, "Oh, he sold his at three, so I'm going to sell mine for four."
Okay, and then as the creator too, we were talking about that you can have, I guess a forever piece. You can get a cut of those resales.
Well, you get royalties just
along the royalties along the way.
Every transaction, and you can set whatever parameters that's at.
And then I guess you would just get an update. Somebody sold it. Here's your cut.
Well, I mean, the money would be in your wallet.
Yeah. How does this work with taxes? So how does obviously you've got these monetary, in essence, transactions. At the end of the year, we're coming up on tax season. How does that look? So let's say you earned, $40,000, throughout the year on these things. It's probably super low, but how is that reported? How do you go about doing that?
I mean, I'm not an accountant.
Sure.
I normally hire
somebody that will tell you to do that. Yeah.
And I'll be like, this is what I made, this is what I do.
Whatever. Figure it out yourself.
Figure it out, yeah. But I mean, it goes along the lines with any profit you make. If you go make a ton of profit doing a business front, you pay taxes on it.
Yeah.
You make a ton of money in the crypto front, you pay taxes on it. It just depends. Are you reinvesting? Like if you bought a house, you sold the house, you take capital gains.
Yeah.
Or did you invest all that money into a new house so you didn't have to pay capital gains because it's unrealized?
It's just 1031 it.
So yeah.
So could you do that, I guess, with another project there? Is that
I would have to talk to the legal team on that whenever it gets to that point, just because it's just there's so much and there's so much even not known. Like me, I only have such an idea of it, and there's probably a number of areas where I could have explained something a little bit more finite that would have been a little bit more expressive for how it truly can work. It's just like I said, it's just a new place, new things, and you got a bunch of people that are just trying to discover what to do and how to make money out of it. But I do see that without a doubt, NFTs are going to be staying. Your Bored Ape clubs or whatever, they'll probably be one of the stronger pillars. You might have some that try to hop on there that might die out in the dust. I mean,
okay,
just like back in the day with the gold rush, you might have bought a mine that had no gold in it.
Yeah.
But then the one right down the street,
somebody jumped on it. Yeah.
Yep.
Are there any, and I guess kind of on the gold rush aspect, people made a shitload of money off of, picks and shovels as well too. Are there any sort of like ancillary things? It's kind of like the weed business. Obviously marijuana, it's heading towards federal legalization, but who knows where that's going to end up. But obviously those that make the pipes and the chillums or, the ancillary products have made a shitload of money off of that stuff as well too, because it's definitely legal. Are there any aspects like that? You've got the NFT, but are there any spaces to where people can, if you have an ancillary product, you have to be somewhat knowledgeable of the system, but are there any kind of offshoots?
I mean, you had all your GPUs. Why do you think you can't buy a graphics card right now?
Sure.
Because they're all mining.
Yeah.
And all that mining goes into the cryptocurrencies that you create the NFTs on. Well, what gets the NFT put in the blockchain?
Okay.
The mining the data, the putting the data there, that work of getting it there.
Okay.
So that's one big one. I mean, computer chips.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go into each individual, like risers, all of the components that you need to mine are impossible to find. Because I used to do mining. Okay. And then whenever it got to where graphics cards, I was paying like two or three times retail for it. I was like, all right, time to sell the rig.
Okay.
You know, you had Ethereum changing some of the regulations to go off of proof of work to proof of stake anyway. So I just didn't really want to hold the bag through that.
Huh. So. It's a wild west. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. But it, I mean, it's in everything. I mean, even with trucking right now, like people don't realize, and I don't know if I can say this, but right now we are operating in a Great Depression. It's just because the news is not telling us.
Sure.
We're not acknowledging it.
Sure. But
our grocery stores aren't filled.
Mm-hmm.
You go to try to buy something for a business, you're having months of a wait. Trucks. When I was first starting to get trucks back in the February 2020, $43,000 would get you a truck that same parameters of truck. So same like amount of years, miles, and everything. $160,000 now, 2 years later.
Wow.
Hyperinflation has hit. It's just the Federal Reserve, they've said it in their meetings, they're trying to control where inflation's at. Mm-hmm. And they've done a phenomenal job doing it. Mm-hmm. So the house is on fire and no one's called the fire department.
That's absolutely right. And as we were saying before, you know, there's been a great flood before, and whether it is an actual water flood or something else, you know, there's always a balancing act. There's a yin and the yang to life just in general, as far as things getting a little too one-sided and top heavy on things, that something's going to come crashing down at some point. And I mean, the housing market the way it is, and price of materials and everything else as well too, and like you said, the food shortages, and you know, back even when we had plenty of food, there were still people that were starving. And there's just a system in place that, you know, that benefits the few for the most part. And you know, a lot of those people have figured out the system and ways around it, and ways to get to not have to pay into the system like most of us do. And
but that's because we're social.
Yeah.
And like, we're told we're democracy, we're told these things, but in reality, we're not even democracy anymore. We were supposed to be a constitutional republic.
Mm-hmm.
But them saying, oh, save the democracy, that means we've already degraded from a constitutional republic to a democracy. What's the next level of degradation? It's an oligarchy.
Mm-hmm.
So are we really trying to save the democracy, or are we trying to make it seem like they're still there and it's not this oligarchy power that's being enforced upon us?
Which it is. I mean, it's just got to pay attention to. You got to turn off the actual mainstream media, because they're not going to tell you shit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fucked up stuff going on in the world right now, and you know, it's just kind of up to people like us to find the good in it and you know, make monies in ways that, you know, hopefully will be kind of, you know, it's one of those, you put a heavy demand on the system, and there's a lot of people that make this big push for something. Hopefully some things change, but.
You know. I mean, there's an optimistic light to look at. In the Great Depression in the 30s, that was one of the biggest transitions of wealth. So anyone that's paying attention to what's going on and has got a hustle bone in their body and starts pushing it, they might be on the fun side of this flip.
Yeah. So what would you suggest to somebody, you know, that wants to start getting into this kind of space? You know, where would you suggest they start, or maybe some information that they can kind of pick up and kind of start getting their toes wet in the space?
I mean, the first thing would be research.
Okay.
With anything. Yeah. Because I also do, you know, business consulting. If someone wanted to get into a business, the first question is, why do you want to get in this business?
Yeah.
What is it going to bring you? Is this going to be something you can enjoy to do? Because it's going to take a ton of hours, and you're going to have to enjoy all the research you're going to do to dive into it. If you're just trying to half-ass the project, you're going to leave a backdoor flaw, and your project's going to fail.
Yeah.
So that would be the first thing, is, you know, dedication on what you're trying to accomplish, and then the why. And then after that, it's just meeting people that will have some sort of inclination in what you're doing. So you don't have to know them now.
Sure.
You meditate, put out what your intentions are, and the universe will put the people in front of you that you're meant to talk to. I mean, I didn't know I was doing an NFT project back whenever you asked me to do a talk about NFTs.
We started talking about crypto in the alley behind the brewery.
just real quick. So
And that's how life works too. I mean, it's the same thing. Like, you've got to be real dedicated to it. Like, this entertainment business is something that I was doing on the side for 17 years, and then I saw a huge gap in, you know, specifically Dixon. It's starting to spread you know, as the universe may have it, but there was an entertainment gap in this county as far as, you know, people having something to do besides go eat and drink, you know, enjoying themselves and, you know, putting a game-like aspect to it and really bringing like a high-vibe situation to people to where they can really kind of step out of their day-to-day bullshit and just enjoy that. And yeah, I mean, hell, the research on the equipment alone and then obviously with all the chips backed up, you know, it took a lot of patience. It took me 4 or 5 months to get all my stuff, you know.
And, oh, I bet.
You know, booking gigs and things like that, I kept having to kind of push some things off, but finally everything kind of came together and then it's just exploded from there. And I'm taking everything I'm making and just reinvesting it. And I've got two people helping me now. So, I mean, you're absolutely right. As soon as you kind of find, there's so many people in this world right now that are just out of fucking alignment. I mean, they have no clue what they want to do because they pay so much attention to,
what people are telling them to be?
Yeah, baby, yeah. Just like this false sense of reality of how the world is quote-unquote supposed to be, you know? You're supposed to do this, and this is what it means to be cool or pretty or whatever it may be, and these people they wake up and just drag ass to whatever they're told to do and just drone through life.
And that's where a lot of the traumas build up. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about it, if you weren't told... Like, so whatever guardians you have, they're going to have a certain vision for you and they're going to try to push you to do that vision. And they do truly want best for you, but they don't realize that sometimes through that pushing, you're not nurturing the person the right way. You're degrading or diminishing the person, which is then going to cause psychological manifestations in their mind that are going to carry on to it. So it's about letting just, you know, live, you know, inspire. Like, so it's like, oh, you want to draw? Cool. Like, let's inspire you to draw. Let's get you some shit to start drawing so you can be the best drawer. I mean... I want you to be a doctor, but guess what? I'm not a fucking doctor. So you want to draw? Start drawing. I mean, who cares? As long as you're enjoying life, that's all that matters,
that's
right?
That's it, man, because it just brings more good things. You know?
Sorry about dropping the...
Oh, yeah, fuck, it doesn't matter, man. It's my podcast. I can say whatever the hell
I just... I don't know what platforms you're on. I know sometimes they...
Nope, don't give a shit.
Cool.
Don't give a shit. Yeah, you should have heard Steve on here.
I did hear
Steve's
that one,
great, dude. It was so funny. Yeah, and you're right, man. It's There's just and that's how we get to where we are, is this false sense of division. You know, if you take everything back to an atomic state of really a quantum physics type state, you realize that everything is just one. It's just an energy and frequency.
Energy and waves. Yeah,
that's all it is, and it's all in how you perceive the world. But they've I think everybody knows who I'm talking about, but have created this system of division of black and white and gay and LGBTQ, whatever all the other letters are, and divisions by state and divisions by country and divisions by monetary systems and values and things like that, to where everything is just so fucked. It's just it's I'm better than you, my dad can beat up your dad, you know, system. It is. It's
because we're worshiping that.
That's exactly right. Cool. Cool. Well, I guess kind of bringing it back home. So you've got this launch going on 420.
Yep.
How can people find you? How can people get involved
with it? Punkmonk.com. Okay. And then we also got a Discord on Punk Monk.
Is that PunkMunk?
Yes.
Okay.com.
Yeah. And let me pull up my Discord real quick. Cool. Because that should be the same. The Discord is Punk Monks with an apostrophe S.
Okay.
Yep, and then the website is just punkmonk.com. And then in a couple days, once I have everything on Magic Eden, because they will be on Magic Eden to get the purchase the NFTs, I will have a link to the Magic Eden gallery on our website.
Okay. Do you have a Twitter or anything like that that you utilize?
I do have a Twitter as well. I believe that is my Punk Monk.
Okay.
But I have that all on my girl's phone, so.
Okay, cool.
One of the benefits of having a team so we can hit all these different platforms.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool, I'm excited about this, man. Yeah. I definitely want to chat with you a little bit more on that and how I can kind of get involved, because this is one of those things. Okay, so I got real involved in this whole occult systems and awakening stuff. I had a lot of time to do that, but now I've taken this on and don't have too terribly much time to really dive into kind of what we've talked about. So, yeah, I hope to kind of lean on you and... I want to get involved. I mean, obviously, it's the way of the future, and it's in early stages and things like that as well, too. So,
I mean, like I said about Russia, I don't know if we were recording then or not, but if you have a company or if you have a country that has nukes and their currency is worth less than a company that makes a video game, and what you're buying with that currency is video game stuff, that shows you where stuff's going.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you got a military and a populace. It depends on... who you can get to mind-numbingly just absorb your content.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That's the way of the world.
Yes, it is.
Cool. All right, well, Brandon. Well, I appreciate
you having me today.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and we may do a follow-up after you drop it, maybe a couple weeks or so after, and just see how things are going, just a quick catch-up.
Yep, sounds good. There.
Cool. All right, guys, we'll check them out. Be sure to like, subscribe on the YouTube, and check out the Facebook, Your Vibes Entertainment now. I've changed it. I don't know if I've done a podcast since I've changed the – since I've turned this into a legitimate full-time company. So, yeah, give us a shout out. Be sure to like and share everything. Just help spread the good news. And until next time, y'all have a good rest of the day. Peace.